Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Well, thank you very much for coming. Welcome, everybody. It's good to see all of you. Before I go any further, I need to bring you the good news. This morning, baby Joshua has been born to Sue and Cash, who were planning to join us for the early morning service today. But Joshua felt he couldn't wait. I believe he arrived around about 9:30 last night. So we welcome Joshua. And from what I understand, they are both doing very well, Sue and Joshua, right now. We'll get to see them in due course. Of course, you know about Cecilia and the baby Zion. Please remember all of them in your prayers. Like I said, and this morning we had a service, a Holy Communion service at 9 o'clock. There were 13 of us, including Nigel and myself. It was lovely, though there was no singing, but we felt the Holy Spirit in us. Now let's sing our opening hymn, Guide Me, O God, Thy Great Thy Redeemer. Let us pray. Gracious Father, by the obedience of Jesus, you brought salvation into our wayward world. Draw us into harmony with your will, that we may find in all things restored in him, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, it's lovely to see everybody, and it's actually really, in my mind, very lovely indeed to have this opportunity when we're looking at the great sweep of Genesis together, to kind of peer into the vastness of the canvas which is before us. This is something else I've been reading during lockdown, actually rereading. So I think I'm on my third time now. War and Peace. I don't know if any of you have read it. I know it's a bit of a tome, but I honestly would say don't be put off. It's fantastic, this book. It's absolutely marvelous. It really is great. It tells the stories of a whole kind of connected group of families, and particularly their younger people in Russia during the Napoleonic Wars. So the background is the vast scale of Napoleon trampling across Europe, invading Russia, being driven back, and all of that, the ferocious battles, but then the family life, the delicate moments, the kind of conversations between the women, and of course, all kinds of things about young people growing up and the terrible messes actually they're making all the time, and the horrible things that people are doing and the noble deeds that they do. The kind of central core theme is, how should we really live our lives? Now, one of the things that's there in War and Peace, but it's also there actually in Genesis, amidst this great epic sweep, is actually courtship, romance, marriage, and dynasty. These are key themes. There's a marvelous scene in War and Peace where one of the great heroes, one of the four main characters, who's Prince Andrei, sees the woman he's going to really fall in love with, Natasha. And he sees her for the first time. He's in a carriage, he's been driven along, and he's through the countryside. And there in this wonderful, beautiful meadow full of flowers is Natasha with some of her girlfriends, and they're all playing and dancing about and whatnot. And he sees her and he's completely entranced. And this is one of the great things that motors through War and Peace, the relationship between Andrei and Natasha. Actually, all goes terribly, terribly wrong. Anyway, that's kind of the next episode for War and Peace. We're going to hear about how romance, dynasty, courtship took place in Genesis. And this is the great patriarchal family, Abraham, Isaac, and of course, in the end, Jacob, who became Israel. So we're going to hear now about something to do with the succession of the generations between Abraham and Isaac, and how Abraham, the great paterfamilias of the whole system, how he was basically planning for the future of his dynasty. So we're going to hear the, it's quite a long reading, it's a grand narrative reading. It's going to be read to us by Andrew Kyle, and we're going to hear about how romance happened way back in those days, a bit different from now.
The Old Testament reading is taken from Genesis. It's essentially the whole of chapter 24, but since God is merciful, I'm missing out a few verses. Now, Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his house, who had charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I live, but will go to my country and to my kindred and get a wife for my son Isaac." The servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all kinds of choice gifts from his master. And he set out and went to Aram-naharaim, to the city of Nahor. He made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water. It was towards evening, the time when women go out to draw water. And he said, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham by the spring of water, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. Let the girl to whom I shall say, 'Please offer your jar that I may drink,' and who shall say, 'Drink, and I will water your camels,' let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master." Before he had finished speaking, there was Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, coming out with her water jar on her shoulder. The girl was very fair to look upon, a virgin whom no man had known. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please, let me sip a little water from your jar." "Drink, my lord," she said, and quickly lowered her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. When she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw for your camels also until they have finished drinking." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran again to the well to draw, and she drew for all his camels. The man gazed at her in silence to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold nose ring weighing a half shekel and two bracelets for her arms weighing 10 gold shekels and said, "Tell me whose daughter you are. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" She said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor." She added, "We have plenty of straw and fodder and a place to spend the night." The man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord and said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and his faithfulness towards my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the way to the house of my master's kin." Then the girl ran and told her mother's household about these things. Rebekah had a brother whose name is Laban, and Laban ran out to the man to the spring. As soon as he had seen the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's arms, and when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah, "Thus the man spoke to me," he went to the man, and there he was, standing by the camels at the spring. He said, "Come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside when I have prepared the house and a place for the camels?" So the man came into the house, and Laban unloaded the camels and gave him straw and fodder for the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who came with him. Then food was set before him to eat, but he said, "I will not eat until I have told my errand." He said, "Speak on." So he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become wealthy. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female slaves, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and he has given him all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live, but you shall go to my father's house, to my kindred, and get a wife for my son.' I said to my master, 'Perhaps the woman will not follow me.' But he said to me, 'The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and make your way successful. You shall get a wife for my son from my kindred, from my father's house. Then you will be free from my oath when you come to my kindred. Even if they will not give her to you, you will be free from my oath.' I came today to the spring and said, 'O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you will only make successful the way I am going, I am standing here by the spring of water. Let the young woman who comes out to draw, to whom I shall say, "Please give me a little water from your jar to drink," and who will say to me, "Drink, and I will draw for your camels also," let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son.' Then Rebekah and her maids rose up, mounted the camels, and followed the man. Thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac had come from Beer Lahal Uroi and was settled in the Negeb. Isaac went out in the evening to walk in the field, and looking up, he saw the camels coming. And Rebekah looked up, and when she saw Isaac, she slipped quickly from the camel and said to the servant, "Who is the man over there walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." So she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. He took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Isn't that absolutely marvelous? Absolutely marvelous. I must say, the contrast between, I don't know, downloading an app and doing your dating that way is a bit dramatic, isn't it? I mean, this servant, he is, in many ways, the most interesting person in this story, I think, is that he goes, as Abraham gives him a commission, and he goes in faith on this exploration, and the whole future of the dynasty, the whole of the working out of God's promise is in that servant's hands. And when he goes, he prays hard, as we heard, and then he sees Rebecca coming in. Of course, he's entranced with her, and he thinks, yes, this is the girl, and her family agree. We've got the whole story, the narrative sweep. And this is a dynastic story. It's a story which is rooted deep in the memory of Jewish people even today. It's interesting as well to reflect about this character, Isaac. Remember when his father was told he, at a great age, he was to become the father of nations. What happened with Abraham is that he was threw himself down on the ground and laughed when Sarah heard, and she was in the tent, and the angelic visitors gave the same message. It says Sarah laughed. She denied it, and they said to her, "Oh yes, you did laugh." And when Isaac was born, they gave him the name Isaac. It means he laughs. So there's something about the joyful receiving of God's purposes which is somehow summed up in this character, Isaac. And we hear here that when he receives Rebecca, what we know about their relationship is that he loves her. And this is the development in the scriptures of this idea that human love given by God is something about the quality of how we should be, how we should live, and what our relationship should be marked by, coming out and becoming the new way in which these great dynastic people from the past and ordinary people should be. He loved his wife. It's just a very simple thing, but somehow it's the kind of thing on which you can build an entire society through marriage and through families. Now, in Jesus's day, of course, these stories were very, very well known. But they went as a people through many, many struggles in between the patriarchs and the coming of Jesus. Jesus came with as a rabbi, as a teacher, who was an itinerant preacher, going around in the land granted to Abraham and telling about the good news. We're now going to hear a little bit more of this, and it's coming, we're going to be read to us by Jennifer Frew. Jenny.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you very much, Jenny. It's a lovely gospel reading, and it's a very familiar gospel reading, I think, to many of us. Jesus talking about his role as the rabbi and what his disciples need to take on. Come to me is the first of the messages we received. It's about approaching, about being near. So we are followers, and we're asked to come and be near. And how do we do that? We do it through prayer. We do it when we can through the sacraments. We do it through our openness to Christ in the world, in the people that we meet as well. Come to me. It's very powerful, isn't it? It's very inviting. It is an invitation. It's also a kind of an order. So it's both of those things. Come to me. And it's addressed to people who are weary, as he puts it, weary and are carrying heavy burdens. So it's especially important when we are tired and when things are difficult that we have a relationship which is refreshing. Someone sent me a text message this week. He'd been into the church to pray. He said, I had some time with God. It was kind of refreshing. Those were his exact words. And I think that makes the whole effort to open the church and do all that cleaning and everything worthwhile. Sometimes we need a space if it helps. We don't have to have it, but it can often help many of us. Come to me, the command, but also the invitation. And then he says, I will give you rest. That idea of rest is a very powerful idea in our faith. Remember, of course, the idea of the Sabbath, the seventh day. It's not Sunday, of course, it's Saturday in the Jewish tradition. And remember, this idea of resting is part of our faith, but it's not simply putting your feet up and kind of drinking too much and watching too many things on Netflix. That's not really what's meant by it. It's about this refreshment. It's about, to use a word, recreation, renewal of oneself. We often use recreation in a sort of trivialized way. Actually, it's a deep theological idea about a new creation. Connect again with the things that bring us life. It's often difficult to do that with our lives. If you're a parent like Sue and Kesh, they're going to find life pretty demanding in the next few weeks, the next few months. Maybe, I guess, actually, the next few years. They're going to have to re-engineer their lives a bit so that they can find and focus and refreshment. We have to do this. We use the term spirituality, but without this aspect of our lives, this renewal aspects of Christian life, recreation, time coming to the Lord, we're not going to find we've got much what you call spirituality. It really is important to be renewed and refreshed. We need to use church services as a kind of encouragement, which we all need as well, to help us along the way. For me, it is encouraging seeing all you people with your faces, some of you looking at me now in a rather puzzled way on the screen, but it's a real encouragement just to see faces, hear voices, engage in Christian fellowship. I will give you rest. But then the word, a very much a discipling word, take my yoke upon you. Now, these are the people who had that great inheritance of faith through the tremendous epic of Genesis and the patriarchal stories. They regarded their identity as, you know, we are children of Abraham. We are, you know, in descendants of, for example, Isaac, Abraham's son. We are in that line. We're of that family. That's what gives us validity in our. Jesus says something a little bit different. Take my yoke upon you. A yoke is something that you put across your shoulders to carry things with. For example, to carry water and a bucket on either side. A yoke is what's used particularly when you have animals in a field. So there's something that we have to carry if we are disciples. There is, it's not like all easy peasy being a disciple of Jesus. There is a yoke. There's something that we have to carry with us. There is a burden of being a disciple. But he says this, learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Compared with the things that we end up carrying, perhaps which we should have put down a long time back, what Jesus asks us to carry comparatively is light. We have to follow Jesus, but we don't have to submit to things that are destructive, hurtful, or wicked in our lives. Things which are like that, in fact, all around us. An alternative way of life is, of course, the course of sin, of not being with God, of not following the things of God, of not finding that refreshment and renewal. Actually, I feel that as we look back at that great sweep of history, these tremendous stories, in Jesus, they go through a kind of new reality. They go through a new filter. And when we look at, for example, the marriage relationship, when we look at, for example, family and church and fellowship with Christ, with that renewal, with forgiveness, with peace, as we mean it in the biblical sense, right relatedness, there is a whole agenda for life. And that big question, which is at the heart of War and Peace, how should we live our lives? It's given a whole new meaning when we talk about life in Christ. So the promises are there in the Old Testament narrative, but the gift comes with Christ and his peace and life. Sidwell's going to help us to consider that a bit further by leading us in the affirmation of faith.
Now let us declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We will now have the anthem which the choir has prepared from Herbert Simon's words, Thou hast searched me and know me and searched me out. It's actually an adaptation from Psalm 139.
Thank you. If I climb up into heaven, if I go down into hell, but if I take the wind,
we've now come to the time of confession, and we give thanks to Jesus who invites us to receive rest. So let us confess our needs to receive his peace and open our hearts to his grace. Lord God, so many are weary and are carrying heavy burdens. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Your Son, Jesus Christ, teaches us to take his yoke upon us and lead and learn from him. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. He is gentle and humble in heart. So we often fail to walk with him. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. The Lord have mercy upon you, forgive you your sins, heal you by his Spirit, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Father Keith will now bring us prayers of intercession.
The response to the words, Lord, in your mercy, is hear our prayer. We pray that Christ may be seen in the life of the church. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You have called us into the family of those who are the children of God. May our love for our brothers and sisters be strengthened by your grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You have called us to be a temple where the Holy Spirit can dwell. Give us clean hands and pure hearts so that our lives will reflect your holiness. Help us to grow and together come to understand how to be church, the body of Christ in the world today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You have called us to be a light to the world, so that those in darkness come to you. May our lives shine as a witness to the saving grace you have given for all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask for your comfort and healing power to bring hope to all in distress, the sad, the lonely, the sick and the dying, those who are afraid, those who live in danger, the homeless, all who depend on others, and all who mourn. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Father, we know that your world needs love and harmony. Help us be that love and harmony. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is patience, kindness, and goodness. Father, we know that your world is starved of love and care. Help us be that love and care. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Father, we know that our world is short of justice and truth. Help us be that truth and justice and love and harmony and care. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, as Jesus himself taught us, so we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Now we've come to that moment where we have to share the peace. As over the peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. Let us offer one another a virtual sign of peace.
Peace be with you.
We will now sing our final hymn, Fill Thou Our Life, O Lord, my God.
Thank you.
Well, we've come towards the end of our service, but before I say a prayer of blessing, I just want to say a few things. First, the church is open for private prayer from Tuesday to Saturday between 11 and 3 p.m. Last week, we opened for the first time and we received a total of 138 people. And there were various reactions that we observed. Some responded in tears, others in joy and shouts of excitement and all of that. Please feel free to come and visit us. We will be there between 11 and 3 p.m. Before I say the prayer of blessing, I just want to say that Simon will give us a voluntary as usual. This time it will be on a piano. And please fill up your drinks and come back so that we can fellowship with one another. Let us pray. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.